Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
Yes, he is. And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, well, not as always.
Not Joe, as always.
Yep. Not as always anymore. With us for the first time in quite some time.
God, it seems like weeks since we've seen you.
Is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
Ooh-wee, happy to be here.
And film critic from JoeBlow.com, Jimmy O, Mr. James Oster.
What the hell was that, Junior? What the hell was that? God damn it.
Look, I'm telling you, it's going to be one of those episodes where I think we're just going to be talking in a southern accident or something.
Probably. Accident?
It does sound like a southern accident.
Southern accident.
I didn't say accident. I said
speaking
accident.
Speaking of southern accident.
You know this is on it's being recorded. It's like we can immediately hear it. I don't know why he argues this stuff.
I didn't say accident. I said accent.
All right.
All right, then.
Okay. So here we are again after our wonderful interview with Mr. Vincent DeSanti. And 4th of July was just this last week. Did everybody have a good time on 4th of July?
It just blew by. Yeah. I was up at the cabin with Mark in Wisconsin.
Did his feet get cold?
I warmed them up with my breath.
did he rub your feet?
God.
No, he won't touch my feet.
He should.
We watched Friday the 13th by campfire light outside of his parents' cabin by the lake on a giant screen TV.
Did you tell ghost stories around a fire or anything?
No, we didn't need to because we had Friday the 13th.
Good point. Yeah.
Well, I just
several
got back.
People drown.
For real?
Yeah. They're dead now. Yeah.
Hey, if
somebody... I told them they had the life preservers on the pontoon boat.
I'm surprised you didn't hear about it. It was all over the local news.
Well, I've been out of it.
17 people all drowned in the lake at Mark's.
Oh my
cabin.
God. Oh, wow. Let's do it again next year. Well,
you're more than welcome to come, Matt.
Next year, let's do it.
Let's do it.
And I just got back from Lake Tahoe a week or so ago and had a wonderful time.
Boy, are my arms tired.
Yeah. That- oh, geez.
Oh, could be one of these shows, isn't it?
Couldn't find that rim shot fast enough, huh?
I'll have to give it one
think,
of these.
I still think we should talk in a southern accent. Just keep on going with it, James. What do you think?
I'm fine with that.
All right.
Okay. Joe, did you see any movies recently?
In a southern accent?
I did. I saw The Boogeyman.
Oh, how'd you like it?
I was okay with it. I liked it. I did not like it. Mm-hmm. You were completely right. It is riddled with jump scares.
Yeah.
And I thought it was acted well. Mm-hmm. There were parts I realized this is, you know, the boogeyman. It's supposed to be something that, you know, hides in the shadows, comes out at night. I felt like the movie was a little too dark, just visually. Mm-hmm. But other than that, the movie was enjoyable. I think it's something people should go out and see. I don't know necessarily if they have to go see it in the theater. Yeah. It was still a decent film that I think would hold up at your home on a rental service or whatnot. The acting in this, the Sophie Thatcher was fairly decent. The little daughter, Vivian Blair is her name. I thought she was wonderful. The dad, the Chris Messina, which I've seen in a few other things, he's good when he's on screen, but he seems really vacant in the storyline. Mm. But I thought he was good
by design, I think, you know.
Yeah, it's depressed. Now, I thought that there were times where I was thinking that the inclusion of the mother character was kind of tacked on, but it's after seeing the whole film, it is extremely necessary. This is one of those Stephen King books that I have not read, but so I'm looking at it just with a blank slate. But
it's a great short story.
Yeah, all in all, I did like it. It was enjoyable. Mm.
Jimmy, did you see that too?
No, I did not. Okay. I haven't. I've been meditating. I've been dealing with like personal stuff. So I didn't go see a concert, but no movies. No movies.
Okay. Matt, Mark. Yeah.
Matt, questions. So I know you read the short story, and I've read the short story, and you've seen the movie. So how close is it with the?
I mean, it's
does it have the psychiatrist in it?
Yeah.
Does it have? It does.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I don't really remember the short story very well. I just remember liking it a lot. I haven't read it in a long time, so I need to get back and read that again. But I just it's definitely its own thing because it's a 90-minute movie or whatever as opposed to a short story. But I thought it was good. It's very entertaining. It's a haunt if you're into a haunting kind of thing. I thought it was a really pretty good one. It's it's not. It's a very predictable film, but if you're into that kind of thing, you're not going to mind that. So, Mark, did you see anything recently?
Yeah, I watched on Amazon Prime. It's a 2012 film called The Battery. It's a zombie apocalypse film directed by this guy named Jeremy Gardner. This is a very low budget zombie film made for $6,000. He basically asked like 10 of his friends or whatever for like $600 each or 12 of his friends. I can't do the math, but he got $600 each from his friends and he made this film. And it's basically about two guys, best friends in their mid late 20s, surviving a zombie apocalypse. The dynamic of these two friends is what makes this film really work. One of the friends, Ben, has adapted, very well as a survivalist, like Joe is. And he's a decent zombie killer, while his friend Mickey is hesitant to make his first kill and still puts gel in his hair. The acting is subpar. But for $6,000, this movie looks great and shot and directed very well, and with a great independent soundtrack, Joe, that I think you would be interested in. It's really great music in it, independent, artists that he got along with it. There's a great scene where they're both trapped in a car surrounded by zombies for days because they lost the keys, and there's just great interaction between them. There's a lot of baseball references. They play catch and whatnot with gloves and baseball. But it's actually a pretty endearing story. It's just about two friends in the zombie apocalypse. And I really enjoyed it. And for $6,000, man, wow, it looked really good. And you can watch it free on if you got Amazon. So, I recommend it. Yeah, that's what I watched.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
The only thing I watched was I finally got around to watching The Pope's Exorcist, and that's the one with what's his name? Russell Crowe.
The Pope.
The Gladiator.
And it was okay. It was not great. I gave it three cuts just because it was mildly entertaining. I think that the kid who gets possessed, he suddenly becomes very evil very quickly, and it's not, there's no like lead into it. It's just, it gets to it very quickly, which I suppose if you don't want to waste a lot of time, that's fine. But it doesn't really let you ease into the story at all. It just jumps right into it. And then, there's a lot of things that are, the powers that this entity has are just kind of far-fetched. And it's just, I don't know, this is not my cup of tea, but it's very almost like he's a superpower, demon or whatever. And it gets a little outlandish, I think, especially for something that is supposed to be about a real person, which, from what I understand, is what he's supposed to be. It was an actual guy who it really was, but obviously this story is just completely fabricated. It seems like, and certainly all the aspects of it are completely fabricated. It's just one of those things where these possession movies is I just think it's really hard for them to have much success because the first one was just such a knockout of the park. Like, what are you going to do? You know? So, but it's all right. And Russell Crowe, I'll say this, seeing the previews to this, I thought it was going to be absolutely awful. And my sister-in-law came over this weekend and she spent the night with us and she picked that to watch. And so I was thinking I wasn't going to like it too much, but I liked it more than I thought. It was entertaining. And Russell Crowe, I thought, was pretty good in it. He's always good. So it's certainly, if you're really into possession movies, obviously it's something you've probably already seen, but it's worth checking out if you're really into those. I'm not that huge into them unless they're really, really great. And this one was just okay. So,
there's so many of them.
Yeah.
There's just like,
and there aren't that many good ones really, you know, that, and they're, yeah. they're, you know, it's just, I don't know.
They all just meld together for some reason.
You know, I like watching
are we talking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre already?
No.
What are you talking about?
Okay. Sorry. It applies to so many franchises. Joey.
Yeah, it really does. Though. Joe is not wrong. I mean, it's like, that's,
yeah.
We have so many zombie movies. We have so many.
Well, that's true.
Movies. We, you know, it's kind of like.
Right.
But
and
yeah,
some you're, you are, some yeah. you're into and some you're not. And this is, you know.
Sure. It didn't look that good.
The previews I didn't think it looked very good at all. It looked a little way too mainstream and way too like it's beautifully shot and everything, but it's, you know, and all the sets, you can tell they put some money into it, but it's just but the family, you know, the mom and the kids are fine, and Russell Crowe's good, and the guy who plays his assistant, I've seen him in a few things and he's good. So
did Russell Crowe show his feet?
He did not. So Mark would be upset about that.
Yeah. Mark wouldn't like it.
Yeah. But I guess that brings us to our pick of the week, which is Mark's pick this time. So, Mark, tell us what you chose. Tell us, why you chose it.
Yeah, it's been close to a year since we've discussed the franchise. I mean, we've gone so many episodes of just doing like independent films and just like genres, you know, and whatnot, which is great. I think it's been like fantastic, but we haven't done a franchise in a while, guys. It's been close to a year. And you know.
Is that right?
I thought we were long overdue. Yeah. Yeah, the last franchise we did was Alien back in August.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Wow, I guess.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
And
well, we really missed the opportunity for Leprechaun around Saint Patrick's Day.
But, yeah. Yeah, God, Joe, you fucked that up, man, with the Corey. Yeah. I know, man. He had the perfect opportunity.
I like throwing curveballs from time to time.
He did the Corey Feldman. But I mean,
that was a curveball right to the nuts, Joe.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, but you cured me. Hard.
That was a two seam splitter right there.
You cured me. I don't want to see another Corey Feldman film, or I don't even watch his videos anymore of him, like, you know, dancing on the stage, making an ass out of himself. I don't do it anymore. You fucking cured me.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. That might have been worth it. Almost.
Mission accomplished.
There's still Corey Haim, guys.
But I believe we don't refer to him by name any longer.
There's going to be bleeps. Whoops.
Yeah.
So anyways, I asked my friend and listener, Angelica, what, you know, she would like to hear us discuss for franchise. And I think immediately she said Texas Chainsaw Massacre. She couldn't believe that. What's that, Joe?
Is this the same Angelica that thought that you would be a survivor of a horror film?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Just checking.
And is always she's always on Team Piscati.
Yeah, exactly. She's on
Team Piscati. I just like to check my sources. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's gonna be on my side.
There is one. There is one.
I'm on the side. No, you're not, James. Okay. But, you know, I thought of it. I was like, yeah, sure. That's a great pick. She also picked The Purge and The Conjuring series, too. But
that's
I thought the Texas one. Yeah, exactly. So I was thinking, you know, like, where are we going to go with this? Like, how far should, you know, there's like 9 films, I believe, of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But I wanted to shorten it down so we didn't, like, do a Friday 13th where we just didn't even talk about some of the films. So I only picked 4. And that's the first, the original, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and Leatherface 3, and then Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation. So, totally 90s there. But yeah, let's just start. It's a group of 5 friends that are heading through the back roads of Texas, where they end up seemingly stranded because they're out of gas. They have to wait overnight. And so they start looking for gas, and they go to this seemingly abandoned house. And they meet in a crazy chainsaw-wielding maniac with a human face mask with some demented twists and turns with some family members. You guys excited?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That was extremely accurate.
Joe doesn't seem excited at all. You're right, Joe?
I'm riveted.
You're riveted. Look,
I'm just waiting with anticipation.
Your intro has us on the edge of our seats.
The energy is low right now. Let's get it up. Let's get it up. This film, I think...
what she said.
Okay. Damn. Right? I mean, this film, I think, will always hold up and always look good every time I see this film. It's just a classic. It's beautiful. It's a demented... just demented fun. From the actors to the amazing
shots.
Why does Mark
get to go first?
I'm going first. from the actors to the amazing shots of sunlight peeping through the van's window to the iconic slam of the metal door is probably one of the top 20 famous amazing shots of horror cinema, in my opinion, is that sliding door being slammed in the original. I think it's just a gorgeous shot. I think it's beautiful. I like the film. I like it. So I'm gonna go with Jamesy. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is. It's funny because it was a movie when I saw it as a kid. I didn't like it. I didn't get it. I was like, I didn't get it. But it stuck with me enough that I watched again and again. And obviously, it's iconic in the horror world. I don't know. Once I got to be a teenager and kind of got it, I was like, wow, this really creeps me out. It's a very creepy film, even from the opening scene with that messed up
the armadillo.
Oh yeah.
No. You're right. It was the messed up shot coming out. Yeah.
Yeah, that sequence, I tried to watch it on edibles one time. I didn't get past that scene. That just freaked me the fuck out. So, and like you said, Mark, the slamming door, that's one of the, I would say it's far more than 20. I think that's one of the top 5 iconic shots in horror, period. I think it's a masterful work. I think Toby Hooper did, it's so gritty, yet it's like you said, it's beautifully shot, but it's got that kind of documentary feel. It just and of course John Larroquette doing the voice in the beginning, it's kind of fun to hear that. It's always fun to hear John Larroquette in this movie. I don't know why. I think it's marvelous, and I think Marilyn Burns is a hell of a lead. I think Gunnar Hansen, I loved his Leatherface. I think there's been a couple since that have been really good, but I don't know, something about him, something about this movie. It holds up, and it's just, they do it without really a lot of gore. You know, it's one of the few movies you watch and you like, feel like, oh no, there's a lot of gore in there. And no, there's nothing. There's really nothing. Just the guy cutting his hand or something like that. So that's my, I think it's one of the best horror films ever made, period.
Yeah. I think the original guy who plays Leatherface, with the movies, you know, I don't know if I've seen all of them, but I've seen pretty much most of them. He's the best. He's the best. Yeah, it's just
fantastic.
I mean, he created that role. I think he's the best. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, it's so good. I haven't seen this in so long too. I can't remember the last time I watched it, but it has been a long time. And I had been thinking about doing this franchise myself because I wanted to get back to it, and I hadn't really watched most of. I don't think I'd seen maybe one or two of the sequels after part two, but. At the beginning, I love Jerry's glasses. He's the guy driving the van. His glasses are hilarious. 70s car safety was not very strong back in those days. They've got a guy. They've got a bunch of basically teenagers or young adults sitting just in the back of a van with a guy in a wheelchair, and it doesn't seem like he's strapped in at all. If an accident happened, poor Franklin would go flying. I just think it's good policy never to pick up a hitchhiker. It's just, especially if you're in rural Texas, probably the best place not to pick up a hitchhiker. I wonder if the hitchhiker from There's Something About Mary might have styled his performance off of Hitchhiker from this movie.
Probably.
These kids are dicks to Franklin, by the way. They just leave him out by the van while they're running around having fun. For long stretches of this movie, there's almost no incidental music at all, and I loved it. I love the just silence and the sounds of the nature around them or whatever. The camera shot tracking to the house from under, kind of behind the girl as she gets off the swing, and it follows her toward the house. Such a great shot for a low budget film. There's a lot of great tracking shots in this, running through the woods. The chase through the woods is so it's put together so well. The first
beautifully
scene
lit, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's beautifully that? Lit.
Yeah,
it's so
beautifully lit.
The first scene in the house, I think, is still shocking. Where the first girl gets into the house, even though you don't see much, you think you see a lot in this. I love the camera movement. Something tells me Leatherface hasn't run this much in quite a while. He's running more in this than he probably has. I can't imagine that he kept up with her for that long. Apparently they really cut Sally's finger at the end there when Grandpa sucked on the blood.
Yeah,
they had a fake knife that didn't work, and so the guy just unilaterally decided to cut her finger, and she didn't even realize that he had done it, and then the grandpa didn't realize he'd done it either, and he was sucking real
just
blood,
sucking on the finger.
That crazy dinner party scene is still so fucking good, and shot over 26 hours. They were insane at the end of it. And this film was added to the Museum of Modern Art as a permanent exhibit in 1981. So, yeah, it's just a masterpiece. It's a fantastic film.
What's your opinion on Franklin?
What do you mean?
The guy in the wheelchair.
Oh, I love Franklin. I think he's fantastic.
I think it's great. I just love the craziness of like how the cast fucking hated him. The actor just hated him. He was like a complete dick on set, and nobody liked him at all.
Oh, really?
Maybe that's why
they.
Just left him.
Who knows?
But even like, you know, all the stories of like how much of a dick he was, you know, on set. I mean, God, what a character Franklin was, man. Just his when he rolls into the house and he's just, you know, doing his, what do you call those, raspberries or
yeah, the
you know, those kind of things.
And the, he and the hitchhiker both.
Yeah. That I don't know if Toby wanted them to do that, or if it was just like an improv or something, or was it like an inside joke, or like who could do it the most. But man, that one scene was just so great. I just love that character Franklin so much. It's just so great. I'm ready for Joe. Joe, what do you think, man?
I love this film. This film is an absolute classic. From beginning to end, I love the radio, the narration, the opening. The opening segments of this film are so bleak. And I have the opposite opinion of Matt, of Franklin, that Paul Partain guy. Franklin is, in my opinion, made to be annoying. He's made to get under your skin. That segment where he's talking about how now in the slaughterhouse they use the gun, and he keeps repeating that phrase like boom, boom, and he won't shut up about it until they yell at him. I mean, I would smack that guy in the car if I was riding with him. I think he's designed to be that way. And he gets somewhat of what he deserves, like put the damn knife away, especially if you got a stranger in the car. And for the record, that knife doesn't look like it could cut butter, but
yeah,
it's still that whole sequence at the beginning with the photography and him not wanting it and then burning up the photo. And it's just, you get yanked out of any sort of comfortableness that you would normally have watching a film, and it just automatically puts you on the edge of your seat. You're uneasy, and it stays that way throughout the rest of the movie. And all of these characters, everyone that gets introduced is more bizarre than the one before. Once you get into the house, the set dressing is just amazing. What it doesn't have in actual blood and gore, they make up in ambiance of that house. You know, you can look at that, you could picture in your head exactly what it smells like, you know, in there. It's just so disgusting, especially the part where, what was it, Sally, when she goes into the house, she falls down and there's just like chicken feathers everywhere. I'm like, could you just imagine the rancid smell coming out of that place?
Well, and then the chicken that's just in like a bird cage that's way too small for
way too small.
So weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
And, you know, the dinner scene and everything, all the way up to the actor, Sally was just absolutely tremendous. She really sells the fact that she's just terrified for her life, especially when she gets in the back of that pickup truck and you get that scene of her turning around, sort of laughing like, ha ha, I finally got away. Yeah. And I, the one thing I'm really dying to know is the truck driver that stops to pick her up. He's driving the Black Maria is the name of the truck. Yeah. I hope you never he's know, dead. But I hope to God he got away.
No, he's dead. Yeah. He's dead.
Logic would lead me to believe that if Leatherface had stopped pirouetting in the street with his chainsaw, he probably could have gotten, you know, the truck driver really easily. But this movie is an absolute classic. They locked it in, and it's a fantastic film from beginning to end.
I continuously laugh with that truck driver, because when he's running towards the back of the truck and he does the pivot when he sees Leatherface, it's just the most classic pivot. He's going, nope, fuck that. And he just keeps running. He keeps running. But I feel like they got him. They got him.
I don't know why they got out of the truck, though. Like, they got into the truck, closed the door, and Leatherface, like, is hitting the door with his chainsaw. But I don't know why he didn't just drive off. Like, why they had to get out the other side.
I think it was just, like, a knee-jerk reaction. It's just, like, get out of the truck.
My knee-jerk reaction would be to drive off. Like, I don't know why.
You would think. But, I mean, until you get a chainsaw being buzzed, you know, at your head, you don't know what you're going to do. But, it's just a great film. A fantastic film. And we haven't even mentioned the wonderful gas station guy, the cook.
Yeah.
Man, is he great.
And yeah, he's great.
He basically steals the movie for me. I just love just his canter, just how he talks and all that. But we'll get more into that guy in the next film.
Well, actually, in this first one, he was supposed to, you know, he's that whole scene where he's driving and hitting her with the stick was so great, but he didn't want to hit her, and he felt uncomfortable hitting her, and they kept telling him, hit her. And even the girl was like, hit me. And he didn't, that's why he kept pausing and then, you know, whatever, because the actor himself didn't like doing it. And so she kept saying, no, hit me. And then he said by the time it was over, she had bruises all over herself.
Oh, I didn't even know that. But yeah. That makes that scene even better, because it seems so natural when he was doing it.
Yeah.
It completely worked. Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. Well, we're going to move on to the next one. It's The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Part 2, directed again by Tobe Hooper. 1986, possibly one of the greatest horror poster film posters in the history of horror cinema. And that's the Breakfast Club theme. I just get a kick out of it, absolute kick out of it. Mm-hmm. This film is about a radio DJ who is victimized by the cannibal family because she has a tape of evidence of murder recorded from her station. She seeks help from an obsessed former Texas Ranger played by legendary actor Dennis Hopper. I won't start off this time, so I don't get yelled at. We're going to start off with Joe.
This is where you lose me.
Okay.
I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a fantastic film, and I think it was extremely original, and I think it was terrifying. And then they just say, well, let's cookie cutter it and take some moments from it and make another movie about it, but now it's a comedy. You know, it's a dark comedy, and there's so many things about it. I mean, if you're looking for a standalone dark black comedy in the horror genre, go ahead, watch this. But it just all of these franchise sequels sort of disappoint me because they're not scary anymore. You know, I don't when Leatherface chases somebody with a chainsaw in this one now, I laugh, I giggle. I'm not scared for that person. I'm not invested in any of the, you know, whoever the good guys are supposed to be in this film. And it sort of just spirals off into this such a bizarre out there movie. I don't even see it being part of this original film. You know, I don't think that this Leatherface is the same Leatherface from the original. Plus, I throughout all of these, I mean, this is more of a look at the entire franchise. How many families does Leatherface have? Because it's the same iconic Leatherface character in every film, but yet he's surrounded by different people. So is he moving from house to house or from a house to an amusement park underground and then to somebody else's house? And that I know I should just take the rod out of my ass and just enjoy the film, but those are things that, you know, take me out of the enjoyment of it. And again, this is something I did some research on. So every Texas Chainsaw Massacre sequel has to contain some of these certain items. For example, they have to have an introductory text crawl that pretends that the narrative is based on a real story. They have to have that flashbulb sound that makes that creepy screeching noise. Mm-hmm. They have to have the low angled shot from some woman's ass as she walks towards a house or a structure. There has to be characters in a van or in some sort of vehicle. There has to be an imposing metal door that's going to scare the hell out of everybody. That's like an automatic jump scare. There's supposed to be a supporting character that we think is helpful, but one day, you know, we find out later probably part of Leatherface's family. There's got to be a maniacal dinner scene. You know, it's just all of these things. There's like a laundry list, and I think if you pick six of them, you've written another franchise film. So it's just after seeing the first one, watching the second one, I had so many expectations of what this franchise could have been. And it just, it falls short for me. That being said, I love it when Chop Top burns the end of the wire coat hanger and scratches his head and then eats it. That's just so disgusting.
It's great. When did you see part two for the first time? How old were you? Like, did you see it before or after?
No, I watched them in order.
You watched them in order. So, yeah. But when you saw it for the first time, what year was that? Do you remember?
I saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the first one, probably in high school.
Okay.
I didn't see the second one until, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And then just started going on and on and on until I saw them all.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And this is one franchise that I thought would have, you know, out of all of the horror franchises that could have been remade by Rob Zombie, why didn't he pick this one? This seems so much like right up his alley. It's all this hillbilly horror. He would have been perfect for this. Yep. Not the Munsters, not Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or The Hills Have Eyes. One of those two would have been great Rob Zombie films.
That was actually in one of my notes, is that when I was watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, I was going, I felt like I was watching a Rob Zombie film, actually, because, you know, with the hokiness and whatnot, I kind of thought I was watching a zombie film.
And, you know, Dennis Hopper has gone on to say that this is like his biggest regret. He has least favorite film that he's ever done. And just, you know, back on the whole, like, who would survive a horror movie type thing. I got to say that if you were to rank all of the weapons in a horror film, the chainsaw has got to be one of the dumbest ones, because there's so much, you know, room for error. It could not start on, you know, you could be sitting there pulling and pulling and pulling and nothing when you need it. Plus, I don't understand how in every one of these films, you never hear it coming. It's just all of a sudden the screen's dark and everybody thinks, oh, you're finally safe. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's right there and it's on and it's running.
But
you don't even hear a pull.
But it does work with some tension with that chainsaw when it doesn't start and he's like revving it and he's revving it and it's going vroom, vroom. And
yeah,
it's not,
I know, but
it's
I'm,
not going. And you're like, come on, get out of the room or whatnot.
I'm talking about all the built-in jump scares that they put in that, where it's just all of a sudden, you know, they're standing in the forest by a tree and then all of a sudden, brr, and there he is, you know.
He gets a lucky pull.
Yeah, because they don't
hear he must.
Watching or anything like that.
No, none of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're good jump scares, so.
And I don't understand, where was this place that they were living? This underground amusement park type thing?
Yeah, it wasn't really...
It was in Texas.
Explain.
Yeah, it was like an abandoned amusement park.
Yeah.
But it's underground?
Yeah, the layers and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah.
Texas.
What's that?
It's in Texas.
Matt, what are you...
Sorry, that's all you had to say. It was in Texas. I didn't know. That answers everything now.
Matt, what are your feelings on Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2? The
polar opposite of Joe. I love this movie. I saw it in the theater when it first came out, and this was an unrated movie, so you had to be 17. You couldn't be under 17 with an adult. So I had a fake ID, and one of my buddies had a fake ID. It was me, Andy, you know Andy, Joe, our friend Sean Scott, I think, and our friend Joe Judge. And Joe Judge had a fake ID. I had a fake ID. Andy and Sean did not. And so we sat on the ends in case they carded us. They did. They came through and carded everyone in the theater. But what they did was one of the guys came my direction through the aisle, and I was sitting kind of in the middle. I was the end of our group, but in the middle of the theater. He came and asked me for mine. Another guy was in the aisle and asked Joe Judge for his, and they didn't ask for Andy or the other guy in the middle of our group. So they just asked the ends for their IDs and just moved on. It was just, you know, it was like young guys or whatever. They didn't care what age you were.
Wow.
Yeah. And we had,
they used to do that back in the day. They used to. I did that for part 7, Friday 13th, part 7. They actually did that.
For most of the time for R-rated movies, they would card they might card you at the door. But if you were with somebody who was 18, it was fine.
Yeah.
But or 17 or whatever it was. But for this movie, it was no admittance for anyone under 17.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we were, I think we were sick or no, under 18 maybe or something like that. Whatever it was, we were too young. And, but we, I mean, we had a blast with this thing. And we talked, we quoted lines from this movie. We still quote lines from this movie, like NAMM flashback and, Grandpa's a one hitter. And all we, I mean, Andy and I still will quote lines from that. Bringing in the sheaves, that song, and I'm bringing it all down. Like we still like will quote this song, this movie.
So good.
Yeah. I think they're both masterpieces. I want to know what's happening in that hotel hallway where Dennis Hopper's staying. I want to know.
Was it a porno? I think it was.
Cowboys acting weird. There's a bunch of weird stuff. I want to know what's going on.
Gay
in that
porno.
Hallway.
Cowboy porno.
Let's see. The marching band in the middle of nowhere. I felt like. There was a lot of David Lynch in this movie, and this was really kind of, I mean, it came out the same year as Blue Velvet. So it wasn't influenced really probably by David Lynch, but maybe Eraserhead. I don't know, but it's very David Lynch esque. Another note I wrote was Rob Zombie owes everything to this movie. This is pure Rob Zombie, like House of a Thousand Corpses, the sense of the humor, everything, except this actually has a sense of humor as opposed to most of his movies. Jimmy, I wrote this down. Jimmy, now this is a masterpiece of mayhem. The lights, I love the lights in the tunnel are so cool, especially in the chase there. I don't know how they light them or how they have the power to do it, but I don't care. And then the line she says, "Listen, this is not going to work out," to Leatherface, like their relationship isn't going to work.
That was such a weird scene too, man.
Or that first scene where he's like, it's like he's having sex with her with the chainsaw or something like that, or simulated. So great. I like her. I thought Stretch was good in this. Good-ish.
Bill Moseley?
Huh?
Bill Moseley, I mean?
No, Stretch, the girl.
Oh, Stretch, the DJ.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Bill Moseley. And he's playing Chop Top.
Yeah.
Who actually, I looked, because he had a similar birthmark on his as the Hitchhiker. And so I looked it up, and he's supposed to be the twin brother of the Hitchhiker, who, and he was just in Vietnam still at the time of the original. Let's see, bringing in the sheave. Yeah. So I just think this is, it's like he decided, I'm not going to do the same thing again. I'm just going to do a complete balls out comedy basically with horror. They amped up the gore. Obviously there's way more gore, way more stuff and skin and gross stuff. Yeah, I love this movie. It's one of my favorites. So,
yeah,
and
I
there's
mean,
always a chili cook-off, you know.
Yeah, the chili cook-off.
With human meat that wins first, you know, prize. You know,
it's all in the meat.
It's all in the meat. Yeah, I think they were just following suit because that's where, you know, some horror movies were going in that time. I mean, Gremlins 2 was, you know, dark humor,
right.
And they just kind of went that way, and it's a film.
There's just so much. I just think this very. It's almost like David Lynch was involved in this. There's just so many little weird quirks, and obviously, I mean, Dennis Hopper is full on Hopper, you know. So, I love it.
James, what do you think?
Oh, we haven't even brought up one of the most brilliant kills ever. That whole scene with the car, the Jeep, and that whole while they're on with the radio and while Leatherface is chasing those douchebags down.
Oh, you mean over the bridge?
Yeah,
at the very beginning.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite moments of any horror movie. Yeah. It's a great opening.
I love the guy with the glasses that he has on with the eyes, the weird glasses with the eyes.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was basically kill the yuppies in this. I mean, that's what, you know, this film was going for, kill the yuppies. But I got a question with that scene. Why couldn't she just, in the station, why couldn't she just hang up the phone? Why did they just keep going and it's like, just hang up the phone? Doesn't that work? Just hanging up the phone? Right?
Exactly. It drove and that's me one insane. Of my notes is what kind of messed up phone system do they have for a radio station where they have to stay on the line until the other person hangs up?
Right.
If that was the case, I would have crippled every radio station back when I was a kid because I just would have called them and put the phone down and walked away for days.
Yeah.
It's not possible. All they would have had to have done was hang up.
Maybe there was a smaller station. The phone's
I don't know.
I'm going to speak on this one because this is a movie that I don't agree necessarily, Joe, that it's the same old. But I feel it's a very different film on every level. It's just so over the top and wacky.
I do think it's very different. It's not the same one, but
fair enough. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So I really like Carolyn Williams is great. She's so much fun and the stretch is a lot of fun. It's great to see, you know, obviously, you know, pre Rob Zombie, you got one of the Rob Zombie's boys in here. That's cool. There's a lot of good stuff in this film and I just, the whole setting, it's fun to see Dennis Hopper in one of these. I don't care that he doesn't like the movie. He's a blast to watch.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, I love it. And it's a movie that I get why. Joe, I get your reaction because I think I had the same reaction when I first saw it. I was like, I don't get the point of this one. But that like the first film, it just grew on me. And I think the first two films are so masterful. And it's kind of like the Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. They're, you know, they went so campy with the second film while the first one was fairly serious. I also like, I just thought it was cool, man. I really love the ending. I love that. I love that. I want to go to that music park, that underground place. I think that'd be rad. I want to go there. That'd be really cool.
It's in Texas. Jimmy, it's in Texas if you want to go.
Yeah. I can't go. I'm so upset. That's my thought. Yeah, I love this one. I think it's great. I think it's so bizarre. And Tobe Hooper, God bless him. God bless him.
Yeah, I love this film too. I think it's great. Matt took a lot of notes away from me, and I'm all over the place right now. But I love this film. But that being said, Jim Siddow, once again, man, once again steals the movie for me with all his one-liners and how he's just – it's almost like he's improv-ing, which could be the point because the script was basically a work in progress because the company took $1 million out of the budget, so the screenwriter, Kit Carson, had to rewrite the script during filming. So maybe that's why there was a lot of lines just here and there. Maybe it didn't all mesh together, but who cares, man? It was a fun film. I mean, we had a chainsaw duel on top of the table, and then Dennis Hopper just shoves that chainsaw right in the center of Leatherface. He's still alive. By that time of the film, who cares? Who cares, man? You're just having a good time. You're just having a rock and roll good time. It was great. The love affair was interesting. Just like Matt says, I don't think this is going to work. But just all in all, just there were so many good lines in it. I love this film. I love the poster. I wish I had it. I probably will get it. Dennis Hopper, though, I mean – why was he in this film? I don't know why. Just probably for the money, but like half this film, he's just going, bring it all down. And he's just sawing away for like half the film. And I thought they kind of misused Dennis Hopper for that. But other than that, I think it's a great, great film. I had a couple problems with Bill Mosley, you know, slashing at her, you know, going up that you know, stares at the final end, and I wanted to see a little bit more cuts and more blood. He's just kind of like just zigzagging and not cutting her. So, but that's just a nitpick. But I love this film. I think it's a classic. Most people do. Yeah.
And how did that end again? Someone twirling around, dancing with a chainsaw.
Yeah,
correct.
Stretch.
Okay.
Stretch.
I couldn't remember which one that happened in.
Well, speaking of twirling and chainsaws, let's move on. We're going to Leatherface, 1990, Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Part 3, directed by Bill Burr, who was fired and then rehired 2 weeks later because they couldn't find a director to direct this film. Apparently, Peter Jackson was supposed to direct this film, but he did not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It would have been. The storyline, it's a little different, guys. Brother and sister, Ryan and Michelle from California, are delivering their father's car to Florida. They take a road suggested at a gas station and is hunted down by a cannibal family. I'll start off with this one. With decent acting, awesome guitar riffs, wonderful booby traps, and once again, different approach to this franchise because we had a very direct approach and in the original. They had a campy, dark humor one, and then they kind of brought it back, I guess, like in between, you know, I would say a little funny in some parts, but Viggo Mortensen is in this film, this charismatic, and I think he's great in this film. Think it's the best family so far that we've seen, you know, like that what we've been talking about for like the table scene and just the interactions with the family. I love the mom with the voice box. I thought she was great. I love the camaraderie with the two brothers. I thought that was wonderful to see. It was just a little bit more interesting than what we've seen before. I still have a problem with these films as they progress. They seem to get, the family seems to get smarter and smarter and smarter. And we'll get on to why I think that when we get to the next generation, but they're not as The Hills Have Eyes kind of like family. They're getting more progressed and like just more intelligent. And it works in some ways, in some ways it doesn't. I love the trailer to this film. Before they even shot this film, they did a trailer, and it's a montage to Excalibur, one of my favorite films, where the chainsaw, like you see Leatherface just staring off into the lake, and the camera just zooms in, and all of a sudden you see this beautiful chainsaw coming out of the lake, just like Excalibur with, you know, the Lady of the Lake, you know, gemstones on her hands and all that. And then she throws it up just like Excalibur did in Excalibur. And Leatherface catches it, and a bolt of lightning hits the chainsaw. And he turns around, and the camera just zooms in on his face. And it's Leatherface, you know, part three. And it's great. It's great. I love it. It's kind of like a 90s action horror feel to it. Which I enjoyed. I love the survivor list, of course, you know, from Dawn of the Dead, our boy. And I didn't mind it. I was expecting this was going to be pretty bad. I didn't think it was too bad. I thought it was actually not a bad film. Joe, you loved it?
No, I became more tired with it just because, again, they pick so many, you know, you've got people with car troubles, you know, you've got the gas station attendant, and now somebody's taking photos and trying to sell them. And, you know, it's just the same old thing that I've already seen. And I don't know, I don't care for it. It's just, that's it. That's all I got.
All right, Joe. Matt, what do you think, man?
This was better than I thought it was going to be. I didn't have great expectations for this because I had heard so many kind of negative things about it for a long time. And because I was really big on the first one, the first two. And then when this came out, I was excited, but then I read some bad reviews of it and I heard from people that they didn't like it. So I just never saw it until now. And I thought it was better than I was expecting. Not great. Nothing even, not even holding a candle to the first two, but the main couple are so dumb. Like, that couple is so dumb. Like, I thought they might head in toward more of a comedy feel. Like, if this had had the tone of part two or even part four, it probably would have been more successful. But it kind of lost. I'm not sure what they were going for, if they were trying to be funny at times or if they were going straight horror. And I think generally they tried to do straight horror. But they cut away from a lot of the kills in this. Like they went back to not having much gore in this. Viggo, I thought, was great in it. Like, he's way too good for this movie. Way too good for this movie. I wrote a note, this is too normal, and I'm not sure what I meant by that, but I think maybe it just wasn't weird enough, you know? Maybe, I don't know. Huh?
Was it the family was too normal?
Maybe, I guess. I'm not sure what I meant.
They're just not crazy enough. Yeah, they're not crazy.
Yeah, they're not crazy. Like, yeah. The family in part four is fucking nuts.
Exactly.
And in part one and two. But this one was more like they're just sadistic, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. not like nuts, except for Leatherface, you know. And even Leatherface was just not himself.
I wasn't a fan of this Leatherface at all.
Yeah.
Can I ask a legitimate question? This isn't like a joke or, you know, a bit or anything like that. I'm trying to piece this together in my head. So like in Friday the 13th, it's Jason Voorhees. He's the same Jason Voorhees through, well, most of the films. And in mm-hmm. Halloween, it's Michael Myers. It's the same Michael Myers that we know from the first movie throughout all the movies. So is this supposed Leatherface supposedly died. I mean, I could even believe that he survived that chainsaw through the gut from part two, but is this supposed to be the same Leatherface where he just moved on and it's another family?
I almost feel or, like all of these.
I don't
these,
get how that works.
After two, I feel like at least these two were just reboots almost, you know?
Leatherface part three, basically it's disregarding Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. And so it's supposed to be like a direct sequel from the original, which is.
But with an entirely different family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In a different house.
Yeah, well, it almost,
but that clears it up.
Part three and four almost function like reboots. Really. Like they don't fit in the canon at all, really.
Part four doesn't fit at all in the canon. It just
doesn't either. They're same story, but it's just like a reboot. It, you know, there's no idea that there was events that happened before.
There's a timeline where they try to explain it, but it's like, you know, the red strings all over, you know, with the board where they're pointing. It's insane.
If I'm not mistaken,
can't even explain it.
I feel like there was a lot of rights issues with this series too over the years. Like it changed hands a lot, so I don't know.
Yeah, with New Line Cinema and whatnot. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Jimmy, you were saying something about To Be Fair.
Yeah, To Be Fair. I mean, if you look at the Friday the 13th Part Two, takes place quote unquote 5 years after the original came out, and there's no continuity mm-hmm. in those movies. And Halloween. There's no continuity. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's those. There's very these long running horror franchises it's very difficult for them to hold any continuity at all. But yeah. I it is weird that the families do constantly like, wait, I don't remember Little Girl.
Well, Friday the 13th has the best continuity for any franchise in the horror franchise. Besides the 5 years with the Friday 13th Part 2. It's pretty all the way until after Part 8 is when they fuck up when they go to New Line. But Paramount really did a pretty good job with it.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think Scream did. Well, except for the years did not make sense. It didn't make sense. It wasn't 5 years later. It was 1 year later. It was all that stuff. It was a little
messy. Right.
I think Scream is the better representation of continuity, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not watching any of these franchises for continuity.
No, you're not.
You kind of do.
So basically, I should be treating this like the Griswolds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be a Rusty, but he's always going to be different.
Yeah, basically.
That's okay. Attaboy,
I just need
Joe.
Something grounded in reality that I can put my foot on. And okay. All right. Go ahead.
Who was the best Rusty?
God, Anthony Michael Hall, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you're right.
All the others were kind of lame.
I like the one in the remake, actually. I thought he was good. I was fine with that guy.
What remake?
Vacation remake. I'm thinking of another movie. Sorry.
The one in the Las Vegas Vacation, the Papa Giorgio. He wasn't bad. He's like my second favorite.
Well, I didn't see that one.
You didn't see the Vegas one, man?
Mm-mm. You didn't see the Vegas?
Vegas one was good.
Yeah, it was good.
But I digest. Go ahead. I think you're going to call on Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy. What do you think?
It's funny. I remember seeing this movie when it came out, and I kind of liked it when it came out. It's fine. It didn't live up to the original, but it was a good, solid sequel that had decent. Kate Hodge was fine. The little dumb character moves, but I liked her. I liked William Baldwin. I thought they were likable enough for what they were. Viggo Mortensen's charismatic as hell. I mean, I kind of knew him from that time because he had also done an Indian Runner around that same time. So he's doing all these weird movies. I think I actually met him I went to see him read poetry at this place called the Iguana Cafe. So it was like, I was already a fan of his. I watching it again, I literally just watched it before the show. This is the one holdover. I like it more than I thought it would. It held up better. I think Ken Foray is great. I think there is some solid energy. Yeah, it does. It's a little dry. It's a little paint by numbers, and it's a little, you know, what at this point you really shouldn't go trying to not be gory because it's, you know, it's Chainsaw. It's not 74. We can move on. We can get gory a little bit, but I it's okay. I love at least this time they're actually listening. They hear the leg moving when he's walking towards. I like that sequence where you hear the squeak, 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 squeak and they're like, hurry up, change the tire. I thought that was cool. I was fine with that. Mm-hmm. There's moments here. It's far better than I remember it to be. I thought it would be on my rewatch. I thought it wouldn't hold up at all. And it's fine. It's a fun, solid. It's one of the better sequels, I think. I think it's much more maligned than it should be.
Yeah. Unfortunately, with the gore, they had to cut a lot out. There was a lot of gore in this film, but the MPPA, the ratings, just kept on cutting it and cutting it and cutting it. The director, submitted this film, I believe, 16 times before they agreed on it. So 16 times, man. Wow. So they cut out a lot of gore, so they just destroyed it. But I guess you can see this film all in its glory and gore. If you have the Blu-ray, the unrated Blu-ray, you can see everything on it.
Yeah.
So it didn't really get its chance. And it was supposed to come out in November, and they released it in January. They pushed it back and released it in January. Oh. So, it showed up on, like, debuted at number 11, Back to the Future. part three or something like that was still even in on the top 10. I don't even know. Yeah, so yeah, it kind of sucks. I think it's okay. I think it's all right. Hangs on by a fingernail, I guess. So the next one is, of course, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, 1995. It's prom night in Texas, and a bunch of teenagers get lost and crash in the woods. Big surprise. Of course, they stumble upon the Chainsaw family. Big surprise. And guess what? Another dinner scene. Big surprise. Right, Joe? Here's a change of it. Starring Academy Award winners Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey before they won the awards. The last line of this film is, "What the hell is going on around here?" Yeah, that's my thought on this film, is what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? Joe, what the hell is going on?
Out of all of the ones that I watch for this, this is my second favorite.
Okay.
I did enjoy this one.
fucking Joe.
I have questions. I don't know why Matthew McConaughey needed a an electric leg.
Because it's
that's
fun.
Run by remote controls. That was just bizarre. I do want to say the character of Barry, the high school kid at the beginning of the movie, who's making out with that other girl while his girlfriend's in the prom. I was getting some really, really strong Matt Speak Beauty Queen Butcher vibes out of that one. Like, I thought Matt should have played that entirely.
I fucking thought the same thing, Joe. I thought it. Yeah. I was like,
here's my note here, right here. I think Barry should have been played by Matt Speak. It's just like in Beauty Queen Butcher.
That's fantastic.
Renee Zellweger plays such a cute nerd in this movie. She's adorable, or adorkable, I should say.
Yeah, but Barry said that she's fucking ugly too. It's like, are you out of your mind? She's way hotter than your girlfriend.
Barry's nuts. Yeah,
he's nuts.
So there's like three different Leatherface masks in this film, and I only cared like the last one was okay. I prefer like in the original where the mask looks like it's patchwork, where it's sewn together piece by piece. It just seems scarier. Like he took so much more time to think about what pieces are going where, and it was a little bit more monotonous about it. Whereas these, it looked like it was something he picked up at a dime store. So I wasn't as impressed with it. I thought the character of Darla, was she a real estate agent or something, was, you know, it's the same, you know, it's the gas station attendant, you know, it's all she needed to do was start taking pictures. But I don't know, at least it was a girl this time. That was different. The guy without sideburns was so creepy that came into the, you know, of course, another dinner scene. But the guy, the rich guy who we have no explanation of who he is or why he's there. He's just sort of, I guess, funding everything. But he really can lick face. Yeah. So felt bad for her on that one. So I never, it's kind of one of my rules. I don't trust somebody who doesn't have sideburns. So, but I thought Matthew McConaughey was good in this. I liked it. I liked Renee Zellweger in it. So that's all I got to say.
Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I didn't care for this one very much. I thought it was a mess. This originally had an AKA Return of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah, that Barry guy is a dick. And I was like, this guy's dead. He's such a dick. And then just run into the goddamn woods. But I think there's like this side from what I read that it seemed like they were trying to make a satire or, you know, make fun of these movies or something. But it didn't work. It's just there's so many things it's trying in this movie and none of them really work very well. I wrote at one point, this is just terrible. I'm not sure what kind of power cable that was she's swinging from, but she probably should have been electrocuted, that she jumped onto a power cable from the roof. But Renee Zellweger.
No, actually, you're okay as long as you're not touching the ground. That's how birds don't get electrocuted while they're up there.
No, that's not true. I've seen videos of birds, like thousands or hundreds of birds getting electrocuted while they're sitting on the wire. That because the weight, when it breaks, you just see all these birds just drop dead.
When it breaks, yeah. But if you're just sitting on it and it hasn't broken, you're not touching the ground.
I thought you were not supposed to touch those at all.
Yeah. No, I touch power lines all the time. I put my tongue on them. It's okay. Go ahead and do it. Yeah, yeah.
don't listen to Joe out there because I don't know.
Oh, my God. Joe, if
you heard it here first.
Yeah. Put your tongue on it.
That's how all those people drown in the lake at Mark's cabin.
Joe said we could do a zip line across the power cord.
I sent those kids to that underwater boulder, and they never came back.
Joe said it was okay as long as you use a leather belt.
Yeah, as long as you're not touching the ground.
Swing over. Yeah. Once you touch the ground, though.
Yeah. So Mark Fischetti is basically a new super villain in a horror film. He's going to be a villain, right? Is that what we're saying? Because he's just killing people. Mark, he's going to be the villain now. Like leading people to their death through an evil power line.
No, Joe said that. I didn't say anything like that.
No, I think Joe's telling us what's happening. You're going to be a super. You're like a serial killer, like making people jump off power lines. That's scary.
I'm missing the whole point of this.
But I agree with Joe that Renee Zellweger is super cute in this, and I never really thought that she was like, I think she's attractive, I guess, but I never thought much about her. But she's totally cute in this, and it's so funny that Matthew McConaughey and her, and she are both in this. And
crazy, right?
Yeah, it's just amazing. And he's, he's good.
He goes overboard. Holy shit!
Well, yeah, definitely. Some of those kitchen scenes. I mean, I kind of up and down because I loved like the kitchen scenes and those weird scenes in the house where. Where Matthew McConaughey's just going nuts in there on them and they're fighting and everything. I kind of loved those scenes, but it was up and down.
I feel like the director, Tim Hinkle, just said, do whatever you want. And Matthew McConaughey just let go. He just let loose.
Oh, totally.
There was no restriction on his performance there.
That's what it seemed like. But anyway, I like them both, and you can see they're both going to be movie stars. I mean, he's totally handsome. She's cute. You could see that they had more talent than this movie, required. The patient on the gurney that rolls by is actually the actress who played Sally from the original. Mm-hmm. At times it seemed like they're doing a satire, but none of it quite works. I think David Lynch actually would have done a great job with this movie if he had made it. It would have been really good. That whole part the rich guy coming in. It's almost like he's a movie executive studio guy or something, telling them, hey, we need actual horror, and I don't know. Let's see. Yeah, definitely my least favorite of this batch. But I have a feeling it's miles better than any of the movies that came after it. So
not true.
No, 2022. We all like that.
Oh yeah, that's even true. 2022. That's right. Yeah. We all
fuck
love
off.
That one.
No, yeah, not that. Fuck no, no, no. Yeah. We all did not like that fucking movie.
We all love that one. Yeah, CineScare certified. Yeah,
it's not CineScare certified. It's not. I'm talking about the 2000. I'm talking about the 2003 remake. Is really good. The Jessica Biel one is good, not the 2022 piece of dog shit. James, what do you think of it?
This movie sucks ass. I hate this film. I think it's terrible. I had it on, and I remember, Renee Zellweger is cute and all, but like through the whole movie, I'm like, shut up.
just shut the fuck up. It was so annoying. I hated her. That wasn't a scream. That was a laugh. She's laughing through the whole fucking movie.
She does that in all her films.
No, not like this. She gives good performances. This is so just goofy. It's not interesting. I thought Matthew McConaughey was good, but it was like, even he got, I actually preferred Viggo Mortensen's crazy compared to him in a little bit. But I did a lot. I like when he running over the guy. That was fun. That was cute. It's so stupid. It's just a stupid film. Like, I get like Kim Hinkle was trying to do something different. The original writer, I believe, original writer. I get that they're trying to go somewhere with this, that to take it in a different direction and to be a little more, to add something to it, but I don't know, like, Matt, what we were talking about with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, they went weird and they went wacky, mm-hmm. but it felt, I don't know, it felt like it belonged. This was like, what the? It felt like a mishmash of movies, and you're just
it
like,
felt,
what the?
Yeah, it felt like they did threw everything they could against the wall and just tried to see what stuck, you know, like they were trying too many things, yeah.
And really just none of it stuck. It's not a very memorable film. It was a chore for me to get through. I mean, it's not the worst. It's not Zombex or whatever the fuck movie was, but it's, or Hood of Horrors actually, but it's just so goofy. And so like, it's just not a pleasant watch for me. I don't like it. I'm not a big fan. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't mind this film. I'm on the cusp with, it's a pretty garbage movie, but I'm kind of with Joe. I kind of enjoyed it too. It's entertaining. The actors that are with Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger, they don't even hold a candle. It's not even a spark. With the acting with those two actors, especially Renee Zellweger's prom date, Sean. First off, him delivering lines was, I don't even know how this kid got a role for a film. Hell, I'm not a great actor, but I could act better than him. And that one chase scene, he's running down the road. You have woods on each side. And you got the truck after him, and he's just running down the road. Just go into the woods, man. Just go into the woods. And then he stops, and he looks at Matthew McConaughey while he pulls up, and he's going, why are you doing this? And then he just runs the back way. I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, who is this actor?
Mark,
character, everything.
It's a running theme in all horror movies that if people make the right decision – then we don't have a movie.
Yeah. It's just so frustrating, though, like watching it. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, that's on the director and the writer's choice. It's going, well, can't do that. You know, how about him like chasing after him or something like that? The dinner scene was fun. It got a little bit too much. I think Matthew McConaughey went way a little bit overboard, you know, with the pointing with his two fingers constantly and whatnot. Renee Zellweger so far is the best runner out of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise.
She's one of the best runners of any horror movie I've seen. Yeah,
man, she can book it. She outran that plane, and I can't believe nobody brought up that plane at the end. Just coming in. Where the fuck did that thing come from, and why did it go for Matthew McConaughey? Apparently, it's because of, you know, the rich guy with the nipple or stomach rings or whatnot. But, of course, I did some research, and I did some research with JoeBlow.com, James. And apparently, JoeBlow.com says that it's the Illuminati.
Who says
it's
that?
I don't know the name. You look it up, man.
They had mentioned Illuminati a couple times, and then Matthew McConaughey had it on his truck. So
it makes sense.
It's the Illuminati,
of course. I don't know why we didn't think about that earlier.
Yeah, Illuminati would be totally focused on some hick family in Texas.
Oh hell yeah!
And you're supposed to be terrifying and scaring. Like, what do you, like, I didn't even think he was, you know, he's going to scare Renee Zellweger's character by just licking her and showing his little rings on his stomach and then just leave. And then he lets her off the hook, which made no sense. Like bringing her to the hospital in the limo. And why would she even get in the, that airplane scene? But, my favorite scene is the old couple in the RV with the Bloody Marys, and they pick her up.
Drinking and driving.
Drinking and driving, and she gets in, and then the RV flips, kills Dale's old people, you know, on their retirement. Just, I laughed out loud on that one. I thought it was great. The cross-dressing Leatherface, this wasn't my favorite Leatherface. It was, this Leatherface was not menacing at all. Just, it was just a crazy scene. I don't even know what was going on at the end. I really don't. But I did enjoy it for what it was, and you know, the campiness. Not even close to part two by any means. You know, they should have gone all in with the campiness, or they should have gone in with the horror, and they didn't know. Just like you said, they threw everything and they decided to see what would stick. This was released to video, and then they, when Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger came out, they re-released it on theater for trying to get some money out of it. And I guess Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger's agents went fucking ballistic. They're like, "Don't you fucking do it!" And but they did it, of course. So, yeah. But yeah, that's it. That's what we got.
All right. Well, those were some fun movies, entertaining at least. So, and of course, you know, a couple classics and a couple, they were entertaining.
Even wait a minute, we got five more plus three documentaries. Didn't you guys watch the other eight?
that's next episode, Joe. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. so we will.
Then there was the cartoon. There was the sitcom. I mean, this just kept going.
Yeah.
There's a cartoon.
There's an anime.
Yeah.
Great. No, there's
the novelization.
Yeah, the novelization is really good.
A special episode of Brady Bunch. Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Full House. Don't forget Full House.
Yeah, Full House. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah
fuck those twins.
There's a box of cereal now. And
Well,
Leatheros.
That was a good one. And we will at some point return to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise to finish it out, I suppose. Maybe if we
are, that's adorable.
Jimmy has a Leatherface doll. Nice. I like the tie. It's
adorable.
Because you want him dressed up for slaughter.
He's got it on Sunday Best. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So my pick is the next one. And I am doing, and I don't know. I was going to call it One for the Ladies, or what was the other? I can't remember what the other one was going to be. One for the Ladies, or That's What She Said. Maybe That's What She Said.
Ooh, that's what she.
So this one will be female horror director, or horror movies directed by female directors, women directors.
Oh, that's what she directed.
That's what she directed. Oh, okay.
Look at me.
Yeah. So. The first one is a classic. There's a couple that I think we've probably seen, and then a few that I know I haven't seen. So, so the first one is from 1982, and that is The Slumber Party Massacre, directed by Amy Holden Jones.
Holy
so this is
shit.
1982, The Slumber Party Massacre. And that can be found
Shudder.
Oh. What?
Nothing.
That can be found.
You paused, Matt.
Yeah, I know. Boy, I cannot pause.
I thought you were moving on to the next one.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
And that can be found
on get on him.
Shudder.
Wait, get on him, Matt. Get on him.
I would like to just finish my thing. Okay. Shudder, AMC Plus, Pluto, Tubi. It's found on everything. It's widely available. Yeah, that's what she's
in the frozen food section.
Let's see. The Invitation from 2015, not the one from 2022, by the way, not the vampire one that came out last year, but the Invitation 19 or from 2015. Karen Kusama directed this one, and this one can be found on Peacock, Shudder, Tubi, Pluto, Freevee, any of those that will do. But if you want to watch it without commercials, I would choose Shudder or Peacock. And then the next one is from 2016, and it is The Love Witch, directed by Anna Biller. And this one can be found on AMC Plus, Peacock, Shudder, Tubi, Pluto. See, I've made it easy this time. I think all of these can be found on a variety of things.
Cool.
The next one is from 2017, and this one is called Most Beautiful Island. And it can be found on Pluto, Freevee, Hoopla, or for rent on Amazon. That's Most Beautiful Island, directed by Anna Asensio. And the last one is from, I think it came out in Mexico in 2017, but it didn't come out here until 2019. And this was actually my favorite movie of 2019, a horror movie of 2019. And that is Tigers Are Not Afraid, by Issa, directed by Issa Lopez. And this can be found on Shudder, AMC Plus, or for rent on Amazon. So if you have Shudder, or two, at least Tubi, I think all of these should be available to you without having to rent. So
nice.
That's it. Those are the five. Once
awesome.
Again, Slumber Party Great Massacre, job. The Invitation from 2015.
Yes.
The Love Witch from 2016, Most Beautiful Love Island Witch. 2017, and Tigers Are Not Afraid.
What a weird title. Tigers Are Not Afraid.
I'm sure it'll make sense.
I wonder if it, yeah, makes sense.
Is it Korean?
To see the film.
Is it Chinese?
It is Mexico. It is from Mexico.
Mexico.
Yeah.
Mexico?
Yeah.
Mexican tigers are not afraid. Yeah.
Wait, there's no tigers in Mexico.
How do you know? Have you been to Mexico and with tigers?
Do they have to be in Mexico for them to refer to tigers?
Yeah, maybe they went on vacation.
Yeah. How
with
Mexico
Rusty.
Supposed to know about tigers?
I don't know. Maybe text knows.
I don't know. Maybe they have the internet. Don't.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, internet. Yeah.
Or zoos.
I said well, so,
I don't know the time period of it.
You'll
great
find
episode,
out, Mark.
Guys.
You'll find out. You know what? Detroit might want to change the name of their baseball team, and Cincinnati might want to change the name of their football team because there's no Tigers here in the United States.
Good fucking point. God. No tiger.
All right. So, well, it was another beautiful episode, and
it was another episode.
It was another episode. That's for sure.
It's something.
Yeah. So, I guess anything else? Go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise. Mark is right now wearing a Pigs in a Blanket Cinescare t-shirt from
my favorite,
an infamous faux pas of mine.
Such a good-looking shirt. Yeah.
And,
seriously.
They don't come very often, so when they do, we have to encapsulate them.
Got
to
jump on it. And that is one beautiful t-shirt, by the way. That's well done. Yeah,
I wish it was like a little blood coming out of the wiener, you know, like a... Like
and there is the bumper we were waiting for.
Yep, there you go.
There we go.
Perfect. Yeah. There you go, Joe.
You stepped right into that one, Mark.
Yep. Was I doing well the whole episode?
Yeah, now you're throwing softballs. It's
yeah, now
easy.
You there you go. Yeah.
Tigers are definitely afraid now.
Yeah. It only took an hour and 29 minutes to do it. I'm getting better.
I don't know if that's better.
Yeah.
Stop supplying those, and why are you here?
Right?
All right, well, have a great summer, and we will see you. We'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
It's already summer.
Okay.
I wish there was like a little blood coming out of the wiener.